We really don't know what happened in the 30 years before Jesus' public ministry, how life was lived, what was said, how things were done, nor the specific relationships among the members of the Holy Family. However, I think we can tell from Jesus' own life, his personality, how he dealt with people, and the way that he lived among the poor, the forgotten, the sinners who sought conversion, and the lower classes of society, that the 30 years of less known were crucial and foundational so that he was known as Jesus of Nazareth. He cared for the poor, the abandoned, and the forgotten because the relationships in the time of silence gave value and form him in a very intimate and personal way. The Holy Family, therefore, is the model for all families to follow. However, I think while it's easy to admire them, many of us really haven't taken the time to imitate and emulate their ways of life. Have we taken the time to nourish, to spend time well, to care, to love, to pray, and to grow our very own family? Have we tried our best to help our family to become more mature and more committed to the life of faith? I remember when I was living with my paternal grandparents, I hated our nightly rosary sessions, and in the same way, going to Mass, that I would fall asleep. And then my grandpa would always make me sit next to him so that whenever I was dozing off or go off, he would elbow me and then what a Hail Mary full of grace, you know? And then I would resume. But because of that, they have taught me, because they haven't given me a choice except to follow the family spiritual discipline, that I later learned much about prayer. My grandparents' choice and lifestyle taught me that we do not stop believing or stop praying because we do not feel like it. We learn to persevere. We keep on trying, and we remain faithful with the best that we can. They taught me spiritual tenacity and perseverance. The life of faith is not just for us when we feel like it. It's based on our consistent, our faithful, and our disciplined spiritual exercises and our will to seek God at all times. And I have learned through my grandparents and later affirmed through spiritual direction that if you keep your prayers will keep you. If you keep your prayers will keep you. Second, praying is good, but it's more important that we make our house into a home. It's easy to treat our house as a place to return and to rest, but we haven't really taken the effort to make it into a home where the family can belong and where its members are being called to be holy. Too many people have missed the opportunity to break bread, to eat, to spend time, to talk, to listen, to share and to receive each other from the heart, especially to pray with and for one another. My brothers and sisters, a home is not just a building or a place. It's the heart where one feels that he or she belongs, that he or she is loved and respected. A home is where each member is being welcomed, wanted, and cared for. Therefore, in order to truly create a home, we need to spend time to listen as well as to be able to talk to each other from the heart, knowing that God is in our midst and that we have been put there for one another. If we are spending more time on work, on the field, with our activities, appointments, and other things, we really haven't taken the time to make our house into a true home. If we're only worrying about living our dreams, we might have a supported group of people around us, but we do not have a family. And this is why we have seen more elderly people at care facilities and at times too, dying slowly without their family visiting them. Everyone just seems to be so busy spending their time for everything else except to spend time with one another. We haven't allowed ourselves to grow old with one another with grace because we're constantly chasing after everything and anything that occupies us for a short moment. Since we haven't taken the time to create and know where home is, we oftentimes allow ourselves to be defined by what we have achieved or done, by focusing on how to reach what we want without knowing who we are and why life is worth living. We have become so focused on the how and the what that we lost focus on who we are, why life is worth living because of the people who are around us, the people who give us life, the people who care for us, and the one who stays with us no matter what. We lose meaning and joy when we cannot feel the high of being productive and needed because we have never taken the time to understand why life is worth living. Too many of us only care to judge ourselves on what we can do and who we truly are with all the abbreviation and initials and title after our name. And that's why we become lost when all those things stop being an important part of our life. In other words, we have lost sight of our theocentric, our God-centered mission and purpose, and that's why we are scared to simply be ourselves. We're so scared of being ourselves or alone that we always have to do something to occupy our minds with busyness. Ironically, this creates so much loneliness because even though we might have more friends and followers on social media, people who support us, we remain disconnected and homeless because we never felt that we belong anywhere. What is sad is that we have left many of our family members to die in loneliness because we have been so disconnected from them because we're too busy with life. When a person passed away, many ended up being caught off guard. Many cannot come to terms with death because they were never really ready for it. They have spent their time to live by doing, but never understand why life is worth living. Too many haven't taken the time to prepare and get themselves ready for eternity. Too many have not taken the time to prepare themselves and ready for eternity, and that is why we are scared of death. We no longer want to talk about our mortality, divine judgment, or eternal life because we only want to fake. We only want to fake the celebration of life on earth without preparing for eternity. Ironically, all of these thoughts and way of life leave us homeless because we don't know where we belong and who we belong and who we are. My brothers and sisters, the first reading today reminds us of the fourth commandment of how we need to honor our parents. And I quote, "Whoever honors his father when he prays is heard. Whoever reveres his father will live a long life. He who obeys his father brings comfort to his mother. My son, take care of your father when he is old. Grieve him not as long as he lives. Even if his mind fails, be considerate of him. Revile him not all the days of his life. Kindness to a father will not be forgotten." Let me be honest with you. When I was younger, especially in my teenage year, I always wanted to make sure that I spoke my mind and let my parents know that what I really thought, as to win the argument or the verbal battle. However, as I got older, I realized that there are many battles in this life, but I don't have to pick or fight every one of them. Many times we think that we need to put our piece of thought into every single instant, and we have wasted so much time trying to be right. With our family and the people around us, when was the last time that we're simply able to receive, to love, and to accept them as they're able to be for us, instead of expecting what they had to be in according to our standards? When was the last time we're able to actually take the time to give thanks, to care, and to give our parents filial respect and obedience in recognizing the sacrifices that they have made for us, instead of being frustrated of how they haven't lived up to our standards? Furthermore, in the second reading today, St. Paul reminds us, the Colossians and us, to put on God, to put on a God-chosen one, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If one has grievance against another, as the Lord hath forgiven you, so you also do. All over these put on love, he said, that is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts, and the peace of which you were called in one body. And be thankful, he said. It is love that holds all other qualities like compassion, forgiveness, peace, and gratitude together. God's love for us is the model for human parentage of how we raise a family. And Christ's devotion to the church, it's the model for the spouses to apply. We are redeemed, saved, and chosen by the Almighty. Therefore, this awareness of who we are invites and challenges us to behave as His people. We are called to do, to be, and to share everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though the Holy Family of St. Joseph, of Mother Mary and the Lord Jesus had little, they had each other. Even though the different gospel accounts tell us how much trials, hardships, suffering, tests, instabilities, and uncertainties they had to face, they were always a family, and they always had a home in one another. They chose to be a family in the midst of all trials and all suffering, all hardships. Their love for one another and obedience to the Heavenly Father's will made them holy and life-giving. I hope our families are the same. I hope we can imitate and emulate the Holy Family in our very own family life. May we seek to create a home where our family can return, can belong, and can look forward to coming home every day. May we sanctify our family by helping each other become more holy in alignment with God's will and genuinely caring for one another, because a family that prays together stays together.